from coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We start today's broadcast with an article from today's edition of the Charlotte Observer. Mark Washburn wrote an article that I think is worth reading. It's very short, but I want you to pay particular attention. The headline is "Warning: Chick-fil-A Facts Are Toxic to Your Rage." Mark Washburn goes on to write, "You know the story by now. You know that during a visit to North Carolina last month, Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy gave an interview about his company's family-oriented values, which include closing Chick-fil-A on Sundays. You know that Cathy said, we're very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We are a family-owned business, and we are married to our first wives. We give God thanks for that. You know that the Jim Henson Company asked that its toys no longer be distributed with Chick-fil-A kids' meals. That the mayor of Boston said that Chick-fil-A was no longer welcome there, and that gay rights groups called for boycotts because Cathy's remarks were construed as opposition to gay marriage. But do you know the whole story? No. Did Cathy ever use the words gay or same-sex marriage in that interview? No. Is there anything wrong with people in America, a country founded on religious freedom, discussing their faith when asked? No. Did Cathy sound like he was pushing a political agenda when he remarked, we're a business that serves the public, all people are welcomed into Chick-fil-A, and frankly, we do not feel called to weigh in on a lot of social activism that's taking place as it relates to the definition of the family, but we do definitely want to encourage strong families. No. Does Chick-fil-A discriminate against gay people, even married ones, in service or hiring? No. Is Equality Matters, an organization that champions gay equality nationally, accurate by insinuating that Chick-fil-A promotes hate or discrimination by making donations through its charity to groups like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? No. Has Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel done his homework on the issue when he said Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values? No. Do people who favor diversity, tolerance, and a civil dialogue in social issues always practice what they preach? Well, that's the end of the article, but you know what's implied. No, they don't. People who favor diversity, tolerance, and civil dialogue on social issues don't always practice what they preach. So here you have an organization, a very fine organization, founded by Christians, that is being brutalized for no good reason whatsoever. Talk about intolerance from leftist fundamentalists. Well, we'll go right to our phone calls. A lot of you hanging on. And I do want to mention, just before we do go to our phone calls, that right now, the first day of the month, we want to put into your hands the last the Last Disciples series, particularly The Last Temple, which is the last of the trilogy, which has been a long time coming. I've had people ask me forever, when is the last book in the trilogy going to be done? And of course, paramount amongst those that asked me that question is my daughter, Christina. She absolutely loves the trilogy, and she wanted to find out how it ended. And a couple of years went by, couldn't get it done, had too many other things on my plate. Finally, Sigmund Brouwer and I have the trilogy completed. And so right now, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you a copy of The Last Temple. And also, for your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole trilogy. New editions of The Last Disciple, The Last Sacrifice, and a personalized copy of The Last Temple. Hopefully you got all of that. I think I got my tongue stuck somewhere in between my teeth when I was trying to communicate that. But at any rate, The Last Disciple trilogy, now available, complete, finally, and available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Let's go right to the telephone calls. First up, Joel in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Joel.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I enjoy your show. I also enjoy the references to your large family. God bless you. I think that's very beautiful and kind of what you do.
How you give back
in that way. I called in last night and I was on hold, and I got to listen to the guy who started your evening with that very, for me, it was a very disturbing phone call. And my question to you tonight is concerning the Job, which fit in last night with that gentleman that was calling concerning the suicide. God bless him, and I hope we all can pray for him and know that better days are ahead. When you reach that point, only better days can be ahead. I'm more referenced to the Job in the Bible. I don't read the Bible as much as I should, but I'm the Job character in the Bible, and I just wanted to get your take on how you think the change came to Job. In your opinion, what was the major change to Job to make him just realize all the things he was doing were wrong and all the way he was living was wrong? I was raised without a father. That's why I love when you address your family, as you do often. I've never seen a picture of my dad. I have no idea who it is. God is blessing me with two beautiful daughters, and my deal to God was if he ever blessed me that way, I would never check out on my kids the way somebody checked out on me. And I come to find out as I'm getting older, I'm 49 years old, I have a daughter off to college, I'm very proud of my family. I didn't repeat the cycle. And I come to find out I have some issues that I'm dealing with that bother me, how this man could do this to me. Not personally do it to me, but scar me in this way. And I just find myself not achieving true happiness. And I'm very successful on the outside world, and the outside of me looks great, but the inside of me is not right. And I know that because of this issue. And this issue, I just can't shake it. And I've tried many times to give it to the Lord. I spoke to my pastor about it. And I'm just not fully surrendering to it. There's nothing I can do to change it. This is a situation that can never, ever, ever be changed. I can never find him. He's passed. I can never speak to him. And it just really doesn't resonate well with me. I can't get rid of it. Your thoughts, Hank, please.
Yeah, well, you know, the story of Job is an interesting story in the Bible in that Job was a righteous man. And yet Job suffered more in a single day than most of us will suffer in a lifetime. And yet, in the midst of his suffering, Job was able to trust God. And it was counted as righteousness for him in that he is today in the Faith Hall of Fame. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." So Job truly had an eternal perspective. But Job did make a mistake. And the mistake that Job made was to ask the why question. Why did this happen? And the answer to that question was God thundering back. At the end of Job, God responds to Job out of the thunderstorm and says, "Who is this that darkens my counsel?" And in effect, God goes on to say to Job, "You can't understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what's going on in the heavenlies?" And the takeaway from all of that ultimately is this: we don't understand. And we shouldn't ask the why question. The reason for that is God has given us enough information so that we can know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that we can trust Him in the midst of our whys. We know that God is trustworthy. And therefore, whether or not we have an answer to the question why, we can trust God. And that's the takeaway. So you've gone through difficult circumstances in your life, but they pale comparison to what Job endured. And you will never have those questions fully resolved in this life. In fact, Philip Yancey once well said that Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the maladies or the difficulties of life, but it gives us something far better, a way to overcome them through resurrection. And that ultimately is the message of the Bible. It's the cornerstone. We will be resurrected. And in the meantime, we have to be those who occupy, not only fulfill the Great Commission, but we have to fulfill the cultural mandate. We are stewards of the creation that God has left us to tend, and He's coming back to see how good a job we did. So often in Christianity, we think we're going to go up there somewhere, but that is hardly the case. God is going to come to live with us. Heaven and earth will one day be conjoined together, and we will live in resurrected bodies with a resurrected Christ. I've written about this in various places, but perhaps the best place, particularly in light of your question, Joel, is my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charles. He's listening in New Windsor, New York. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Love your program. I have an hour drive every day. I get up at 6 and I listen to you Monday through Friday. Thank you very much for the ministry.
Well, bless you.
Question. The story of the rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man, Lazarus goes not quite to heaven, right? And the rich man asks that Lazarus dip his finger and give him a drink. My question to you is, if I die today as a Christian, do I go to heaven or do I go to the place where Lazarus was?
Well, it's one and the same. Remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that is what Abraham's bosom or paradise is. It is a way of speaking of being present with the Lord. And you're present with the Lord in what I like to call the transitional heaven, because it isn't the permanent place. The permanent place is for your soul to return to a resurrected body and for you to live in a resurrected universe with a resurrected Christ. So what happens at death now is you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, but when Jesus appears a second time, your soul returns to a restored body in a restored universe, and you live and grow and develop without error as you forever explore the glory and grandeur of God and God's created handiwork.
Understood. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. And of course, I mentioned this a few times. I'm writing a book on this at present, and I am so excited about it. I have been working diligently on explaining what the afterlife is all about, because there seems to be a great deal of confusion. About a year ago, the Lord laid this burden on my heart. I get so many questions on afterlife on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and so I'm writing about the significance of this life, the transitional heaven, and then the eternal heaven in a book that will likely be titled Afterlife. All of that yet to be determined, but the book is well along. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And once again, do remember the Last Disciples series now complete. Finally finished the Last Temple, the last of the three books. And they are available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, just pick up the telephone, talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000-CRI. Again, we'll be right back with more answers to your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Many Jehovah's Witnesses are publicizing new manuscript evidence. A Sahidic Coptic translation of the New Testament from the 2nd to 4th centuries that they claim supports their preferred rendition of John 1:1, and the Word was a God. Are they correct? The current issue of the Christian Research Journal tackles this topic head-on. Start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near.
Imagine a letter that could tell your future, written in code. Deciphering it could set you free. What's inside reveals the truth about the end of the world, but possessing it could kill you. The Last Disciple by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. Available from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or by ordering directly from our website at www.equip.org.
Thank you. dangerous mission, a desperate conspiracy. For one legendary warrior, the prophecies in the book of Revelation are about to come terrifyingly true. Hank's new fiction book, The Last Temple, completes his exciting Last Disciple trilogy about Revelation. And it's our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support this month. In fact, for your gift of $100 or more, you can request the whole thrilling trilogy. To give, go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jim, listening in Liberty, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Jim.
My question is about the qualifications for pastors. When Paul gives the qualifications, he says that a pastor must be a husband to one wife. And everything that I've read, people pretty much agree that means a one-man woman, or a one-woman man, I'm sorry. But the church generally holds that he can never be divorced. If Paul was talking about divorce, why wouldn't he have just said it, since that was a common practice and a common word?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a legitimate question. I think some people have interpreted the passage to say that a husband of one wife is one who does not engage in polygamy and promiscuity. His affections must be for his wife alone, and that is the context and that is the qualification that Paul is after, that a man is showing his affection only for his wife. But that is not to say that people who have had stuff in their background cannot be used in ministry. If that were the case, David would never have been used in ministry, and indeed, not only was he Israel's quintessential king, but he is used in this ministry that he had of writing psalms to this very day, because I am edified by his psalms week by week, month by month, year by year. So he is continuing to be used by the power of the Holy Spirit, though he has departed. And I think the point is not that you can't be used if you made a mistake in your life. The point is that as a believer, you have to be one that shows maturity if you're going to lead other believers.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ken next in British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Hank, I got a small problem here concerning you, something concerning your program. I know you to be a true Christian, and I'm a Christian. Whenever the topic of homosexuality come up on your program, you always use the word gay. Why must you use that word gay and not use the biblical word, sodomite or homosexuality? How can society understand the severity of this problem? It's like stealing or anything else. If you have a thief, you call what's going on thievery or a thief. Why must you use gay?
Well, first of all, I think in all due respect, you are making a gross generalization here. I don't always use the word gay. I was reading an article written by someone else to make a point, and that word was used in the article, and therefore I read the article as it was written by the author. Secondly, if you look at my book, Has God Spoken, I typically use the word homosexual, or I use the word same-sex sexuality where it applies. So it is hardly true that I always use the word gay. In fact, most people who work in this area of the vineyard do not prefer that word at all, and I'm very well aware of that.
I'm sorry then, Hank. I apologize. I just want, as a Christian, I just want the world who is non-Christian to understand that sin is sin. And if we don't call sin by its proper name or right name, how can some of society understand what a severe sin is? Any sin, that is.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with your point. I think we should use the biblical designations where the biblical designations apply.
Thank you very much, Hank. I apologize if I came across as too hard.
Not at all. I appreciate any constructive criticism I can receive on the broadcast. So thanks for your call.
Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cecilia in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Cecilia.
First of all, I have to say that this is divine intervention that I'm speaking with you today. God caused a traffic jam and caused me to kind of flip the channels and find you, because there has been a question that I'm not too sure how to handle. It's been heavy on my heart for the last couple of days. I have a friend who just became, she's a new Christian, as far as she was Catholic, and now she's going to a Baptist church, and I'm going to a non-denominational church. And it's, I don't know how to touch the situation, because she's coming to me for guidance. She's learning from her church the importance of staying married, and that God doesn't want her to get divorced. Her husband has already admitted to her that he is having an affair, and basically has laid the terms, you either deal with it or you don't. So her church has guided her to stay hold and let God deal with her husband, but for her to stay in the marriage. There's verbal abuse that I know of, on top of, I don't know if there's physical, but I do know there's emotional and verbal abuse on top of the infidelity. And I'm trying to find scriptures that my pastor taught me in reference to the Bible's mentioning of the causes or what God permits for divorce. But it's such a sticky situation, because I don't want her to doubt her church, and being a new Christian, I just don't want her just to, you know, it's the situation that I'm in. I don't know what to tell her to do.
Yeah.
Like, get a second opinion, or, I mean, I don't want her to do that. I'm just stuck. I don't know what to tell her.
Well, you know, I do think that this is a divine intervention, and we actually have an article that was written by Dr. Michael Ross on this very subject in a former edition of the Christian Research Journal, and I'd love to send that to you. It gives you all of the information that is necessary so you understand what the parameters for divorce are. You also begin to understand what God's heart is in the Scripture. I mean, the heart of God is always for reconciliation. If someone irrevocably closes the door to reconciliation, then obviously you are not bound in that circumstance. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 makes that abundantly clear. But if you hang on, I'll send the article out to you, and I think it'll be very helpful to you.
Thank you so much. And like I said, I just found this radio station by divine intervention, and I've already got it programmed in my car so I don't lose you. I'm going to start listening to you. So, just thank you so much, and just kind of say a prayer for me as I kind of guide her, because, you know, all of us, whether it's her pastor, myself, we all have to be very cautious on what we guide another fellow member in Christ on what we think God is telling her to do. I've always told her from the beginning, I am not God. God's not telling me to say this. I'll tell her, this is how I feel. This is what I found in the Scripture. But I tell her, you pray about it. You research it on your own. Don't just be guided by what someone is telling you to do.
That's God's really good advice, too, because we are called in Scripture to test all things and hold fast to the good. Appreciate your call. Appreciate having you as a brand new listener. Let's go back to the phone calls. We'll talk next to Teresa in North Branch, Minnesota. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I just got a question.
Yes.
When Jesus Christ appears this time, is there going to be John the Baptist, or was that just in the Old Testament?
Well, John the Baptist was the last prophet of the Old Covenant. He was the one of whom Malachi foretold that he would prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And what's very interesting is that Jesus says that John the Baptist is the greatest of all the prophets, And yet, Christ goes on to say, but even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And that is because we are now in a dispensation in which the kingdom has not only come, for the rightful king, as C.S. Lewis once put it, has landed in disguise. He has inaugurated the kingdom, and one day it will be consummated, but we are left in that in-between period where we are to fulfill the Great Commission and the cultural mandate. When Jesus appears a second time, yes, John the Baptist will also appear, but then so will everyone who has died, because Jesus says, do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned.
So he won't pick another John the Baptist.
No, the people that will be resurrected are the same people who have lived on this earth. So John the Baptist was a unique person with a unique DNA, just as you are a unique person with a unique DNA, and there's no need for another way shower. Messiah has come. He has left us with a commission and a cultural mandate. We are called to fulfill that and to occupy until he appears a second time, and then he will transform this universe so that paradise lost will become paradise restored.
Okay, and my other question is, I had three kids, and I lived a really bad life. And sometimes I believe in God, and I have faith in him for everything. And it's sometimes I feel, why am I in the situation where I am at right now?
Well, you know, as I said, Teresa, to a former caller, on this broadcast today, God doesn't always explain the reason why, but he calls us to be faithful and to trust him in the circumstances of life. And that is what you are called to do. Now, you said you had a messed up life in the past, but you can forget the things that are behind and press on. What you want to do as a believer, someone who recognizes that they're a sinner, is willing to repent of sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life, is that you now partake of the means of grace. What is called discipleship? So there are spiritual disciplines that you involve yourself in, and they start to transform your life. They're the means by which God does that. And it starts with prayer. Jesus modeled that during his earthly sojourn. It goes from prayer to reading the Bible, because reading the Bible or meditating on the Word of God is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. And then it's really important, not only for you, but for your kids, to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church, where you can grow in the means of grace through worship, through oneness, and where you can be equipped to go out and impact the world through witness. So partake of the means of grace and know that God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. As a believer, grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we can help you do that in any way, including one of my books, which I've written on the subject, I would be delighted to just give that to you as a gift in my prayer that you will grow.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this.
The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Whether your politics are on the right, the left, or somewhere in between, there is a more fundamental question to answer before deciding how to vote. Are Christians called to use the political process to enshrine biblical morality into law? Is legislating morality biblical? Other topics include Jehovah's Witnesses and John 1:1. New evidence advances the discussion. Mormonism, Christian, cult, or what? The Bibliographical Test Update, and in the popular Ask Hank column, Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, what's the key to interpreting Ezekiel's prophecies? Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org.
It's the first century and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles, but it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Sacrifice, the second in the Last Disciple series by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. As you read The Last Sacrifice, you'll be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll feel the tension as the early church struggles to follow Christ and share the gospel, despite terrible persecution. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of Bible prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. Secure your copy now. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org.
The book of Revelation is one of the hardest books in the Bible to understand, unless you hold the key to its hope and inspiration. Let Hank unlock Revelation for you through his gripping new fiction work, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of his Last Disciple trilogy. It's our gift when you support the broadcast with a gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, you can receive the whole trilogy. Your gift makes more broadcasts like this possible, so please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. Next up is Scott in Fowlerville, Missouri, listening on SiriusXM 131. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Hank. I really appreciate your ministries. Currently reading Chuck Missler's book, Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. And he has a real interesting, I don't know if it's his theory, but I wanted to know what you think about the gap theory, the difference in the words in Gen 1:1 and 1:2, where he talks about in the original language, the difference between the word created and made could actually mean that there was a very large gap between the first verse and the second verse of Genesis?
Yeah, well, you know, Chuck Missler loves to deal in sleight of hand and sleight of mind, and this is a classic case in point. The pretext that he's using here is that create and made, as you point out, have distinctively different meanings. create meaning to make out of nothing, and made meaning to remake or reconstruct something previously created. And therefore, he comes up with this notion. Well, he didn't come up with it. I mean, it's a notion that surfaced a long time ago, but he's one of the people promoting it today, the notion that the earth was created in Genesis 1:1 and then made void, waste, and empty by judgment between 1:1 and 1:2 and reconstructed thereafter. But Scripture uses the words create and made interchangeably. And all you need is one example to completely expose the pretext of Chuck Missler. Just look at Genesis 1:26 and 27. That is sufficient evidence, where God says, "Let us make man in our image." So God created man in his own image. And a little digging uncovers a host of similar pretexts used to support a geological gap that is completely ad hoc. It's a makeshift improvisation that's designed to resolve a perceived conflict between science and Scripture, and the operative word there is perceived. And in my creation answer book, I show why this isn't a conflict to begin with.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. That straightens out a few things for me. Thank you very much.
You got it. And the Creation Answer book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research. You know, I tell you, I get so tired of selling and sensationalism. And people that specialize in script torture and sophistry, and pardon my exasperation. At any rate, the Creation Answer book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it online at equip.org via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry in Slater, Missouri. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Frank. Appreciate you taking my call. You was online with someone just a minute ago, and you said something about that John the Baptist was a prophet of the Old Covenant.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could elaborate on that just a bit, and then I might have something to add to it.
Well, just simply what is delineated in Scripture. You can go to Matthew 11:11, where Jesus talks about John the Baptist and says that if you're looking for someone dressed in fine clothes or living in a king's palace, you're not looking for John. But he was a prophet, and he was a prophet who was prophesied by Malachi. You can look it up in Malachi 3:1. And then Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Well, what did Jesus mean by that? John was the last of the prophets who portrayed Jesus Christ through types and shadows. Jesus, however, emerges through the doorway of the Old Covenant prophecies, emerges as the substance that fulfills the portrait painted by the Old Testament prophets. And therefore, those that now participate in the inauguration of the kingdom until the consummation of the kingdom when the king appears a second time are greater in the sense that they have Christ in their midst and the kingdom has now invaded this earth. So there is an old covenant and a new covenant. The covenants are not substantially different in that they really are the same covenant, but they're portrayed in different ways, which is to say, in the Old Testament, you have the blood of bulls and goats. And Hebrews says that the new covenant is better than the old covenant. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So when I talk about the old covenant and then the kingdom breaking in, I'm referring to the words of Jesus Christ and the inauguration of a mission and a ministry that we can participate in until the time that the kingdom is consummated with the second appearing of Jesus Christ.
Well, that was a little bit more elaboration than what I really needed, but Yohanan ben Zechariah was, you know, a prophet, as you said. He was, spoken of by Malachi and many others throughout the scriptures. Are you familiar with the idea that John didn't really baptize anybody?
Well, he had a different baptism.
It was a mikvah. And baptism is a Greek word, comes with a lot of other baggage, but what the Jews, the Hebrew people, understood was the mikvah. And there's about six of them: identification, repentance, purification, fire, spirit, and suffering.
Okay, and your point is what?
Well, as you said, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference between the two covenants. I believe that, you know, is more like a renewed covenant. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, it is the substance fulfilling the types and shadows. So John preached a baptism of repentance, as the scripture says.
Well, they understood and they followed after the feasts. You know, you had the spring feast and the fall feast, and those are the shadow pictures that we were talking about. The spring feast being, say, Passover, not Easter, but Passover. And, you know, those things that was written in the Book of Revelation would be like a fifth gospel of good things to come.
Yeah, well, and we don't have to celebrate Passover anymore in that the Passover lamb has come.
Why would God have told us to keep that for all generations?
Well, there are a lot of things that we have in the Old Testament that end up being abrogated because they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we do keep it in Jesus Christ, who is the Passover Lamb. And Jesus Christ said, you know, that this is the new covenant in my blood. And so we take Holy Communion now. We don't sacrifice holy cows. We don't participate in civil and ceremonial laws. Jesus also abrogated those laws. Remember where he talked about the law with respect to the eating of shellfish. Well, he said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And then Mark adds, in saying this, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. If you want to understand this, I have written about this in various places, not the least of which is in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Let us go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Toyin in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Toyin.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for picking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want you to shed more light on Romans 14:17. And 1 Corinthians 8:8 is saying, food does not commend us to God. That we are not better if we eat, and we are not worse if we don't eat. So the book of Romans is saying the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's of righteousness and of fruit. You understand? So I just want to understand those two verses.
Yeah, well, I think what's important to recognize is the cultural context, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where food was being sacrificed to idols. And ultimately, there would be no harm in eating that food, except eating that food, particularly within this context in Corinth, could cause a brother to stumble. This isn't something that is a big deal for us today because there's not that much of this going on, such that if you ate food that was sacrifice to an idol, it would stumble anybody. But the point is, we are not to cause other people to stumble. And ultimately, our focus is not on eating and drinking anyway. It is about righteousness. It is about holiness. It is about, as I was talking about earlier on the broadcast, extending His kingdom, fulfilling the cultural mandate, fulfilling the Great Commission. So we are to focus on truth and righteousness and godliness and holiness, and we are to redeem the time while there is time.
Okay, thank you very much. And one more question, please.
Yep.
What's your view about Christians that are playing Lotto?
Christians that are what?
That are playing Lotto, as in Lotto.
Oh, playing the Lotto?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. you know, I think the biggest issue here is that chance is involved, and any kind of gambling like this glorifies chance. So, you know, if you see it as a point of entertainment or a small investment or fun or whatever, and you can rationalize it, I wouldn't make it a big issue on which to separate from other people. I wouldn't make a major issue out of it. But I do think it is important that we recognize that gambling of any kind glorifies chance. It encourages people to rely on luck rather than on God's providence. It disregards Christian stewardship principles. And so remember, we have to be a steward of what God gives us. And it often attempts to profit at someone else's expense. And of course, it appeals to greed and can become very addictive. So as long as you can do things in such a way that you continue to be a steward and rely on God's providence as opposed to chance, then you're within that window that you need to be in as a Christian that is seeking to glorify God and not glorify chance. Going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday at this time? Your questions answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And if you don't have The Last Temple, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. See you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanna Graf. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanna Graf and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision.
Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. A summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage: The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org.